Please open your Bibles to Isaiah 64. I'm sorry, that was a misprint by me. Nothing to do with anybody who did the board. So Isaiah 64, verses 8 and 9. And this would be the first reading then that has bearing on our text this evening. And what we see here is that throughout the prophets and throughout the Old Testament, God is constantly, or the people, the writers, refer to God as our Father. And these two verses just really captures that as well. So 64 verse 8 and 9. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. And then over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And of course here the Lord Jesus is speaking to Mary Magdalene as she is clinging to the resurrected Christ prior to his ascension. And he says to her, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So far the reading of God's Word. I'll ask now the deacons to take 46, question and answer 26. But before I read that, I'd like to read Lord's Day 9, Lord's Day 9, question and answer 26. And this question has bearing to do on, or has bearing on the Apostles' Creed and the first clause there, which says that I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth. And I want to read you this, because I think this is probably, as I'll say in the sermon as well, this is probably one of the most beautiful answers in the Lord's Day, if we can look at it together. So you'll find it on page 21, I think, in the Creeds and Confession book. So the Catechism asks in question answer 26, what do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? And the answer then, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of Christ his Son. I trust him so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. And indeed, he is able to do this because he is mighty God, almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. So as we come to the address of the Lord's Prayer, which is dealt with now in Lord's Day 46, question and answer 120 and 21, you'll find that on page 52 of the Creeds and Confessions booklet. If you have the new one or the new edition, it's on age 846. And the Catechism asks, why did Christ command us to call God our Father? Answer, at the very beginning of our prayer, Christ wants to kindle in us what is basic to our prayer, the childlike awe and trust that God, through Christ, has become our Father. Our fathers do not refuse us the things of this life. God, our Father, will even less refuse to give us what we ask in faith. Why the words in heaven? Answer, these words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty as something earthly, and to expect everything for body and soul from his almighty power. And of course, we're looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, or at least that's where we're taking our text from. And I will read that, and the Lord has given the introduction to the prayer. And he says in verse 19, pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we'll simply be looking at the address there, in other words, Our Father in heaven, as we consider God's word this evening. We'll just come before the Lord in time of prayer. Father, we thank you that you are teaching us all things in relation to yourself and how to relate and approach and be your people. We ask, Lord, that as we go now through and consider this address to your prayer, that you will give us understanding, impress upon our hearts the message. Lord, may we see you more clearly through this text. We do pray, Lord, that you will guide my thoughts and my words and keep it close to yours. We pray that your word will go forth and that it will leave us not unchanged. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, I love my father. I mean, it was a joy to have him visit for a time, a few weeks ago. And I do think the world of him. It was wonderful to see him connect with his grandchildren and just watching him, play with them and interact with them taught me not only about parenting, but also about life. My father is patient. My father is kind. My father is loving and generous. My father is loyal. He is truthful and dependable. My father is caring. He is creative and he is courteous. I can trust my father. I can confide in my father. And I can ask my father for advice. And this is because my father is wise. He is always willing to listen, and it is his joy to guide me and teach me and mentor me. I love my father, and I love being my father's son, simply because he is a good father who loves me. But when I was 10 years old, my father left our family. Him and my mom had a divorce as a result of an affair he had with another woman. And for a long time, I lost contact with my father. And for many years, I was angry with my father. I felt betrayed by my father. I felt abandoned by my father. Beloved, my father is not perfect. And maybe there are people here tonight who have been let down by their fathers. Maybe you never knew your father, or maybe this evening you might not even want to know your father. And when I say, or when we read in Scripture that God is our Father, you might cringe and say, I cannot address God as my Father. I cannot do that. My father betrayed me. My father abandoned me. I never knew my father. How can I think of God as my father? Well, for some years I felt like that. When I thought of God, I transferred all the negative attributes of my father unto him. And the implication of that was that in my mind, God would eventually leave. God would eventually distance himself from me. God would eventually reject me as his child. I could not see God as one who would never leave me nor forsake me. And congregation, I felt like this until I began to focus on the very first word of the Lord's Prayer, which is the word Our. Because when I started to think of that word, to focus on that word, by the Spirit's enlightening influence on me, I realized that my Father is not our Father. And our Father is not my Father. And that was good news for me. Because our Father is perfect. Our Father has no flaws. Our Father is altogether lovely. But as we read the word, the question comes up, who is our Father in heaven? Can we know Him more? Who is He? And first and foremost, we come to realize that our Father in heaven, or that our Father is our Father in heaven. He is the Father in heaven, as the Scripture calls Him often. In other words, He is the first person of the Trinity, the principal cause of all things. And more importantly, He is the Father of the Son. In fact, in all but one of Jesus' earthly prayers, Jesus addresses God as my Father. At Jesus' baptism, we hear the voice from heaven comes down saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So the Father is first and foremost the Father of the Son, the second person of the Trinity. Now if this is the case, how on earth can we dare to call the Father in heaven our Father in heaven? In fact, it wasn't until the Middle Ages before the Jews would begin to speak of our Father instead of the Father. They did not dare. It was irreverent to speak of our Father. I mean, Jesus in first century Palestine, He was almost stoned for calling the Father my Father. And beloved, this is why the doctrine of adoption is so very important for the Christian. For we see there that in Christ we are given the privilege to be called children of the living God. And as such, we may call the Father in heaven our Father in heaven, not because of us, but in spite of us, because of Christ, because He is the Son. You know, my Father has 3 adopted sons living in the USA with him. They call him Father. He calls them sons. And that is right and proper simply because He adopted them. They have been given the right to be called children of my Father. So now my Father has become our Father. But He is nevertheless my biological father. And in that sense, He was my Father before He became our Father. And this is the same when we think of the relationship between the Father and the begotten Son. Our Father in heaven was the Father of the begotten from eternity past. And He continues as such and will forever do so. The relationship of the first and second person of the Trinity stands forever. No one takes the place of the Son, in other words. But the love of the Father for the Son overflows to those whom the Father had given the Son. And because of that, as such, the family of God expands, but not by natural generation, as the theologians would say, not by natural descent, but by adoption. And as adopted children, we are then given the privilege in Christ, by Christ, and for Christ to call the Father of the begotten our Father. And this is what the Catechism articulates so wonderfully when it says, in answer to the question, why did Christ command us to call God our Father? It says simply that at the very beginning of our prayer, Christ wants to kindle in us what is basic to our prayer, the childlike awe and trust that God through Christ, has become our Father. And that is when why, when Jesus teaches his followers to pray, he says, pray like this, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, our Father. Because my Father is now also your Father. But why the image of Father? Why this image? And the Heidelberg Catechism helps us here again. It says because our fathers, our earthly fathers, do not refuse us the things of this life. God our Father will even less refuse to give us what we ask in faith. Jesus taught this as well. He says, if your earthly fathers know how to give you good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father know this? So the catechism is simply echoing or mirroring the words of Scripture when it says that. Now you'll remember we said last week that the Lord will give us all things in Christ. We have it. Maybe not immediately, but eventually He will give us all things in Christ. And that is because He is our faithful Father. And as I said before, my absolute favorite answer in the Heidelberg Catechism is Lord's Day 9:26. We read it earlier. And it deals with the first line of the Apostles' Creed, which says, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. And it basically says that we can have assurance that God will provide for our every need in this life and in the next. And then those beautiful words, He is able to do this because He is Almighty God. But He desires. He desires to do this because He is a faithful Father. Beloved, the doctrine of the fatherhood of God is one of the most comforting truths in Scripture. Simply because in our Father in heaven, we find all the positive, listen to this, we find all the positive attributes that we so desperately long for, but miss in our earthly fathers. And more so, we find them in none of the negative attributes. But yet our Father is nevertheless our Father in heaven. In heaven. And this means that He is not of us. Our Father is not part of creation, but He is the Creator. Our Father is outside of time and space. He is otherworldly and completely set apart. And when we put all of this together, when we think of all His attributes in one glorious whole, we say that He is holy. And we are not. He is set apart from all things. And not only is He holy, He is utterly holy. He is the holiest, as Isaiah 6 tells us. He is holy, holy, holy. The three holies indicates a superlative. He is literally, there's no one more holy, no one more different, no one more set apart. He is not of us. He is our Father in heaven. Nothing can be holier than Him. He is the holiest and the only being who can truly say that I am holier than thou without being self-righteous. So what we see here in this verse 6 of Matthew, verse 9 of chapter 6 in Matthew, is first of all the absolute transcendence of God. But we see His transcendence in light of His immanence. He is completely outside of us. He is in heaven, but yet He is intimately with us as our Father. And you know what that means? That means He is approachable. That means He is willing to comfort and encourage us. In short, it means that we always have His ear. Like the great King who always has time for His children, so too our great Sovereign always has time for us. You see this with the royal family at the moment, don't we? It's quite wonderful to see the Prince Harry and Prince William. Well, he doesn't have children yet, does he? But especially Prince Harry, always walking around with his children. People react to that because he's approachable. We love him for him because he's a good father. But yet, our great Sovereign is so much more majestic, so much more royal, and yet He has so much more time for us. He's never distant. He is, as it were, the mighty sovereign who loves His children with the heart of a good and loving Father. As Arthur W. Pink wrote, he said, "We should draw near unto the throne of grace with suitable apprehension of God's sovereign majesty and power, yet with a holy confidence in His fatherly goodness." This is how the Son commanded us to pray to the Father in heaven. For in Christ, the Father has also become our Father. Now, congregation, I love my Father. But I love Him so much more since our Father revealed Himself to me. Why? Because it is in our Father's love for His children, especially the love I see for that He has for His Son, that I could come to appreciate how my Father desires but failed to love me. And speaking as a father, that's the same for me. And though our earthly fathers does fall short, and like I said, I'm speaking of myself as a father, our Father in heaven knows what we need before we even ask it. And what He provides above all else is the privilege that we may call Him our Father in heaven. And this He does out of the great love He has for the Son, but also the great love He has for the world, which was manifested in Him giving the Son so that we can be a people unto Himself for eternity. Let's rejoice and take comfort and marvel at the fact that we can call God our Father in heaven. Amen. Our Father in heaven, it is a marvelous thing what You have taught us through Your Word. That You are the one who are intimately involved in our lives, but yet You are altogether apart. Father, we pray that You may guide us by Your Spirit deeper into this wonderful mystery. That You may reveal to us how we are to relate to You even more faithfully and appropriately. But thank You above all that You have revealed Yourself to us as our Father, and that we may rely on the fatherly goodness of a great and awesome God to provide for all our needs for eternity. We thank You, Lord, that Your love is seen most purely in the love that You have for Your Son, for this Son. This surpasses Your love for anything else. For Your love is perfect and pure, the love You have for Your own glory. So, Lord, we ask that we will come to realize that Your love for the Son is paramount, and that we are loved because of Him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.